Amen. Well, I'm excited this morning to share with you who you're getting ready to meet. Many of you have met him. Many of you know Bob for many, many years. Many of you have served with him faithfully in ministry, and others here, this may be your first time meeting him. But I am thankful to bring Bob Schloss. Come on up, Bob, here today. And the rich history that God has allowed us by his grace to be participants with this wonderful ministry in the lives of children. And so, Bob, I want to just thank you for being here today.
Praise the Lord.
I'll turn that off. For being here today, what's going on here? Yeah,
I'm turned on, so. I'm turned on, so. Yep, maybe.
Okay, I'm talking. I think we're both bleeding through your mic.
Sorry.
So I'm going to go like this. But, hey, I'm so thankful you're here. We look forward to coming down this next weekend once again to mow your yards and do all. You got a lot done, you got a lot ready for us?
It'll be ready by Saturday.
Because so Monday.
Grass will grow.
Monday you're going to have a new camp, right?
We will.
So we're going to be there right on the
Yes.
Thank you, brother. We love you.
Love you. Y'all have just such a great family feel here. You have a great church family. I can just sense that and feel that and living out, I think it's the 59 one another's spoken of in the Bible, and I think you probably do that very well here. So it's been a pleasure already just to worship with you and kind of take that in and be with you this morning. In a way, it feels like coming home. Some of you probably aren't aware that 30-some years ago, has it been 30 that long? Yeah, 30-some years ago, my wife and I lived on the west side of Indianapolis off of Rockville Road, and we were definitely not seeking the Lord. We were married about a year, had really no interest in the Lord. We were pursuing life and different things. But God, praise the Lord, was seeking us. And he led us to this church where Pastor Paul faithfully preached the gospel. And I think, my memory might be a little foggy on this, but I think it was the Tuesday night after the Sunday that we first attended that Pastor Paul was in our trailer at the Harrison Mobile Home Estates, I think it is now, or something, and led my wife to the Lord. And for me, praise the Lord. A few weeks later, and so I'm forever grateful, blessed through Pastor Paul, through this church, through Pastor Aaron, Pastor Jacob, and all of you. New Song is a children's campus for vulnerable kids, and the church here has really been supportive of New Song almost since its inception, since we began with this vision, which started in 2003, not that long ago. One of our original board members was Herb Simpson, who some of you, probably most of you know Herb. Eldon introduced me to countless people in the early stages of the ministry, some of whom made a profound impact on the ministry. The church itself has wrapped its arms around the ministry and helped in different ways. Prayer is one of those huge things, but certainly serving on the campus many times has been, and I can't tell you how helpful that is, and what a burden gets lifted every time you come out, because if you don't come out, we do it, right? And we don't do it nearly as well, or as can't spend as much time, but it's just a huge burden that's lifted when you come out and serve on campus, whether that's cleaning a house, whether that is mowing a lawn, pulling weeds, planting flowers, all of which you've done. It is a tremendous help, and I can't really overstate how I appreciate it. So, many of you know that, and it was kind of announced here, and I think earlier, but it was announced probably a couple of weeks ago, that now we have a very, very, even much more close connection, in that Scott and Jennifer's son Jeremy and his wife Madison are going to be house parents at New Song, and they actually start, they'll be coming tomorrow. So the timing is fantastic to be here with you today. And there's a really amazing story how God orchestrated that I'll try to do it justice. And hopefully I'm accurate. You can fact check me with Scott if you want. If you're like me on Sunday mornings, what you really want and need, and you've already received to a good extent, a great extent, is you really need to be fed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Like, if you're like me, like Sunday mornings, we're hungry, right? We need the Lord. We need more of Jesus. We need our spirits like renewed in Christ. And so I hope that as I share like updates about the ministry of New Song, that sort of superseding all of that that I'm going to share, I just am hoping and praying that the Lord blesses your spirit, that you feel fed by God, that you're drawing near to God, you draw near to Him, He draws near to you, the Word says. And so that's ultimately what I hope to do through some stories and through some scripture. And it's with that in mind that I want to start just by reading a book that I've been studying. I'm reading a chapter, most of a chapter out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. So maybe some of you would just like to close your eyes and sit back and take it in. But brother and sister in Christ, just receive this from the Lord. And I was reminded in my notes, because I have notes on this chapter, as you hear these words that the Apostle Paul wrote, you can almost sense his enthusiasm, like how excited he is to say that, to write this to the people, to the churches, Ephesus, to believers in Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you have also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and in every name that is to be named, that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Yes, so I start with that, read that this morning, because first of all, it's a wonderful encouragement to us. It reminds us of the Lord's loving kindness. Could you sense that? His tenderness towards us, of the grace that he washed us over with, of the glory of Jesus Christ, how he adopted us as his children, and how we as his adopted children are held securely in God's hand. Because of the finished work of Christ. It is finished, it was said in Sunday school this morning, where Jesus said, it is finished. There's no more work to be accomplished. It is finished. Our salvation is secure. And so I hope that's an encouragement. So Ephesians chapter 1, like all of God's Word, is so relevant to our lives. And it's also very important as it relates to New Song, because that chapter, in a sense, it epitomizes why New Song exists. You see, we want boys and girls who've suffered from some difficult things to know the love of God in Christ. We want them to know all of these blessings, these spiritual blessings. We want them to receive them through Christ. We want to proclaim Christ to vulnerable boys and girls so that they will come to know Christ, be saved by Christ, walk with Christ, glorify Christ. So Ephesians, you know, this chapter really, it really shows why, in a sense, why New Song exists. And not only that, this chapter is what our staff needs at New Song. We need to always remember that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Every one of them is safe and secure. We have every benefit. Every promise listed in this wonderful chapter is what we need for life and godliness to be sustained by God to do the work of the ministry. So for this message this morning, I'd like to share a bit about how God and his kindness and graciousness is blessing New Song, and some of the things Lisa and I are learning about the Lord in the process of shepherding the ministry. And I pray that all of us will just be drawing near to the Lord together as I share. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus, Lord, the one who we long to exalt this morning, the one who we long to lift up this morning, the one whose spirit is in us as believers in Christ this morning, God. And so I pray that you will just grow us in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And to him be the glory for all he's doing in our lives, in this church, and in the ministry of New Song. Amen. So God is good, and he is faithful to his children. Lisa and I continue to learn this sweet truth that sustains us and stabilizes us. God is good, and he's faithful to his children. And I'm hoping, I'm believing that over time, these truths are sinking and have sunk down deep into the heart of Lisa and I, that God is good, and he's faithful to his children. By knowing these two truths, We will rest securely in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father, who's working out all things for our good according to the counsel of His will. So Lisa and I, we're not the textbook case for starting a ministry. Like, we're wired with like prudence and practicality. Lisa's extremely organized. She's a licensed clinical social worker with giftings in administration. I was trained as a lawyer, which kind of embedded me with structure and pragmatism and different things. So we're both like very practical, and we're a little cautious by nature, by training, what have you. And that's why we know that starting New Song was of the Lord, because we wouldn't have done it on our own. It did, you know, it didn't make any sense. We didn't have hardly any money. We didn't have hardly any connections, especially down in South Central Indiana, Brown County. We didn't have any experience at starting anything, really. But God softened our hearts for vulnerable children. He softened our hearts. He gave us big hearts for little kids who had suffered. We couldn't ignore God's leading us. So we ended up fostering kids, adopting kids, and then the Lord put on our hearts this vision of New Song to create a special campus for disadvantaged kids. So we didn't realize it at the time, but there are a ton of challenges that come along with starting a children's home campus. Some of those are listed. I don't know if the text is so small you can't see. Okay, that's good. But all these different things have to be done. And it's a good thing we didn't realize that at the time, because we may not have embarked on that. Because, again, we're practical people, right? So these have all been significant challenges. Some of them are still going on, some of the challenges. And the reason why I mention these difficulties is that in some ways they relate to the difficulties that each of us face in life. We all face challenges and tests of our faith. And Lisa and I, and some, maybe most, or all of you, we've found a truth which, by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, stabilizes us and gives us peace in the midst of trials while we walk by faith. And that is that God is good and He is faithful to His children. God's good and He's faithful to His children, regardless of whether or not He would have met any of those challenges that we had, regardless of whether or not He would have established New Song, regardless of if He meets your hopes and dreams and expectations. He's good and He's faithful to you as His child. He loves you. He's faithful to you. And Ephesians 1 shows that faithfulness, because you're already securely His if you're in Christ. You already have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So whether He answers our needs or desires or hopes or dreams, it doesn't change the fact that God is good and He's faithful to His children. Oftentimes He just responds in ways that we don't understand, and that's okay. We're living in this humanity. But He's good, He's faithful to His children. And this truth, these truths, when the times are tough, give us peace. By the Spirit of God, give us peace and security in the Lord. Regardless of what your challenge is or my challenge is or the challenges of this church or the challenges of our ministry, God is good and He's faithful to His children. So sometimes we're not sure how God's going to answer our prayers. We're not sure that He's going to do the things that we think are best. We're convinced are best, that are right and good and are according to His will, so we think. And so what we're left with, because we can pray with confidence and boldness, we're not always exactly sure what the Lord's going to do. Sometimes it's quite different than what we think. And so what we're left with is this. We're left with faith. We're left with faith. And it's a beautiful thing to just walk by faith. It is a beautiful thing to just walk by faith, trusting the Lord. It can be scary. It can be challenging. It can be a time of great testing. But walking by faith is a beautiful, beautiful thing. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, there's a man whose son is suffering tremendously. You may know the story. And the man comes up to Jesus and says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." It's easy to get down on that guy because he said, "If you can do anything," and Jesus called it, "If I can do anything." But Jesus responded by saying, "All things are possible for the one who believes. All things are possible for the one who believes." From this, I take it that our confidence in the Lord opens up all kinds of possibilities that wouldn't otherwise exist. Our faith in the Lord opens up possibilities. And walking by faith, it's a beautiful thing. So Lisa and I, truth be told, most of the time only have a mustard seed faith. So I don't want to be a pretender. I don't want to pretend we are something that we're not. Lisa and I have limitations. Sometimes our faith is just flat out weak. Sometimes we get worried about things. Sometimes we get anxious about things. Sometimes we get really frustrated over things. But we're learning and we're growing. And we are more and more seeing Christ as our greatest hope and treasure, regardless of how anything might work out, regardless of whether those prayers we're praying come to fruition or not. We're resting in God's goodness and His faithfulness to us. We're learning how to do that because by faith, all things are possible. Even for those of us whose faith sometimes is small. So God has moved New Song forward, just not entirely in the direction or the timing that we had thought. Sometimes God has made a way forward in a vastly different way than we had envisioned. And that could be true for you too. The Lord will make a way for you in a different way than you're envisioning. But He's good and He's faithful to you. So I want to share that walking by faith happens because God is good. He's faithful to His children. And I want to share two examples of where God did things in different ways than we had thought or hoped for or prayed fervently for. Some of it was different in the way things would happen, and some of it's in different timing that would happen. But I think these two examples will both bring you up to speed on the ministry and illustrate the point that when we're faced with challenges and like the floor feels like it's dropping from underneath us, God is at work and He's accomplishing His plan. These are beautiful stories. May of 2020, there was something that was kind of going on at that time around the world. It just had just begun spreading rapidly. Ring a bell? COVID. Yeah. At that time, while phase one of New Song was built, we had served about, I think, 10 kids up to that point, some for 6 months, some for 2 years, but only about 10 kids. We had two girls living on our campus. Again, we have three homes. One's used for school and administration, one's boys' home, one's for girls. So campus was vastly underutilized. And I got a phone call, and it was from a ministry leader here in Indianapolis, and I didn't know her well. Her name is Lena Blanchard, and she is with Family Hope, fantastic ministry here in town that is kind of boots on the ground, Christ-centered ministry, working right alongside of single-parent moms who are struggling with poverty, living in violent neighborhoods, difficult public school settings, and they're side-by-side with those moms, going through a lot with them, but pointing them to Christ in the process. So I got this call, and Lena said, Bob, with this COVID thing that's going on, all the summer camps shut down throughout Indiana. And the kids of these moms we're working with, they don't have anywhere to go to summer camp. Would you, New Song, consider opening a summer camp for vulnerable kids? And we talked about it as a team and as a board, and we said, you know what, we need to do that. We should do that. In God's providence, we did. So we quickly built a little challenge course, hired a camp director, had our first summer camp, had 14 kids, or 18 kids, I mean, 18 kids. And the most phenomenal, amazing thing about it, something we couldn't have ever planned, is that the summer camps became the long-awaited avenue of how kids come to New Song. We don't get kids through child welfare system, through the courts, or any way. We've got to go out and find the kids. We've got to find the moms. We didn't think it would be that hard, but it was proven to be extremely difficult. The phenomenal thing about that summer camps, in addition to just being able to share the gospel with kids and utilize the campus, is that the Lord used that first summer camp and the other ones that we've had since then, this summer will be year four, as a bridge for those kids enrolling into our full-time school year ministry. Because these kids have such a blast at camp, they have such a good time there, that they go home, and it's kind of like a Trojan horse, you know, the story where they're inside. They go in, so the kids go back home, and they basically convince their moms. They say, Mom, I want to go live at New Song. And the mom said, you want to what? And because you got to remember, these are moms who love their kids, and they want better for their kids than they're able to provide. But the last thing they really want is for their kids to be gone. They love their kids, love the relationship, even though their situations can be really challenging. But eventually, these moms, maybe they'll visit our campus or they'll talk with us, and eventually, many of the moms will, okay. And they'll enroll their kids. So after that first summer camp, we ended up having that year, I believe, four boys and four girls. So Lisa and I changed from being girls' house parents, which we were for a couple months for some reason. Then we became boys' house parents. We hired girls' house parents in the summer. So we had four boys. The girls' house parents had four girls. It was, you know, it's just wonderful, just absolutely. So we found this long-awaited path to receive kids. We could never, ever have dreamed of it. Along with sort of that change in how we got kids or get kids, is that we shifted our ministry a little bit. Still fulfilling the same purpose, the same calling, but we shifted our ministry a little because these moms really wanted to stay connected with their kids. So now our kids go home almost every weekend. We'll drive them up to Greenwood, and because all of our kids now are from Indy, almost all of them, and the moms will meet us at a certain place and get their, we'll receive their kids on a Sunday night and take them back there Friday after school. Except for one weekend a month, we'll get a 12-day stretch with the kids. We want them on campus one day a month or one weekend a month, and we can do extra things with them. Moms get to Zoom with their kids during the week if they want. They get texts from us with pictures. So it's opened up another ministry in a way to us where we can now pray with these moms. We can share Christ with these moms. Occasionally, we'll have the moms come and spend the night at New Song and do a day in the life of their student. Last fall, we had a mom's retreat where the moms came and learned how to cook and using a crock pot. So we started off with a crock pot meal preparations in the morning. Our ladies were teaching them how to do this. Later in the day, they ate what was prepared, and they were all given crock pots as giveaway gifts with recipes. And they did a prayer walk, and then they were on our challenge course. And so it's really opened up another path of ministry that is a beautiful thing. So it's absolutely amazing. The ministry is more healthy than ever. It's meeting the needs of the kids better than ever. And keeping these moms and their kids connected. So that's the first example. We didn't expect anything like this. We struggled finding kids, and the Lord, He's good and He's faithful to His children. He provided a wonderful way. Now, fast forward to last summer. Last summer we had the best summer camps yet. Each summer seems to improve. We had more kids than ever wanting to enroll at New Song. In fact, we had 11 kids who were committed, like their parents said. They wanted to come, and their parents committed to enrolling them right after that last summer camp. But we had a problem. We didn't have any house parents. Because Lisa and I, earlier that spring, we said, we just can't do this anymore. Two and a half years, we house parented from 3 until 10, you know, 3 in the afternoon until 10, while working sometimes 7 to 3 on New Song and other, and it just got to be, we learned a lot that we can now share with house parents through that experience, but we just knew the Lord didn't want us to keep going at that pace. And then we were told at the beginning of summer that our girls' house parents said that they were transitioning out. So we had all these kids. We had teachers, but we didn't have house parents. Kids wanting to enroll. Now, that wasn't what I expected. That wasn't what we had been praying for, you know, for months for house parents. It was a little bit mind-boggling to us, like, why are we where we're at. Now the fog is pretty much lifted. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord, the fog's pretty much gone. We see now why we were delayed. Part of it was a little selfish. Lisa and I needed to recover. We were just spent. I mean, we were at the end of our rope. We had two new teachers that we hired. They needed to kind of get acclimated. They just started August 1st. We had one student who did attend school with us last fall on virtually online. That was helpful to our teachers. But by far the more important thing is the house parent couples that God had in mind for us, we hadn't made that connection yet. They hadn't discovered for themselves that house parenting was going to be their calling. So in December, we hired a really cool couple, Jacob and Nikki Fafard, and they came to us with their three young kids. So they're probably 30-ish, right around there, 29, 30-ish. And they've just been phenomenal. So we started off, again, ministry is messy, a pastor once told me. Pastor Aaron or Pastor Paul, you probably hasn't happened in your ministries, but ministry can be messy. And so we started off with five boys in January. And two of them, their behavior was just so bad. We had these new house parents, new teachers. We work with these kids for one for 4 weeks, another for 6 weeks, and it just wasn't happening. And there's a lot of stories, including some violence. So two of them ended up leaving Jacob and Nikki with three boys. And I had to protect them in a way, too, as new house parents, from everything they were going through. That's part of my job, to make sure house parents are healthy. And so they endured. But boy, when the two left, their home and our classroom became a different place because the three remaining kids, while they have tremendous needs, they, worked well in both the home and the classroom. So we were waiting for Jacob and Nikki, right? And they came. That leaves girls' house parents, right? So let me tell you let me pull back the curtain, if you haven't heard this, and tell you the story about Jeremy and Madison. So we had interviewed some potential candidates and it just, couples, and it just didn't feel right or didn't work out for one reason or another. Our board at a March board meeting encouraged me to have a house parent recruitment video made. And honestly, at the time, I thought, okay, that'll be fine. It wasn't a great moment of faith for me. It was more one of obedience, just like, okay, we're doing all this other marketing. I don't know that a video is really going to be helpful, but okay. And so Jeremy Nutter, he's a videographer, some of you may know. And he had done a little bit of work for us in the past. And so I called Jeremy and I said, hey, here's what we're needing to do, and house parent recruitment video. And he's like, sure. So I shared with him, this is a funny part of the story. So I shared with him, like the way we usually do videos, like we did a mom's testimonial video that's on our website. You should look at it if you haven't seen it. It's really, really powerful video testimony of a parent whose children live with, two of the boys live with Lisa and I for 2 years, and daughter lived with the girls' house parents. But the way I said, Jeremy, the way I usually do it, if you just do the filming part, I'll ask the questions because I think I can pull out of them. And Jeremy gently sort of nudged back and said, well, that's great, but, it'd probably go better if I'd asked the questions and did the whole project. And I was like, okay. So he came to the campus. I didn't even show up that day. So it was just Jeremy and interviewing our new boys' house parent couple. And I didn't know this at the time, but a couple months earlier, Jeremy and Madison had received a random email that we batched out to everybody regarding our need for girls' house parents. And I guess Maddie did one of these to Jeremy. Like, hey, we should do that, or we should think about that. And so that was just a couple months, 2-3 months earlier from what I understand. And so Jeremy comes on the campus, and he starts interviewing Jacob and Nikki. And Jacob and Nikki love New Song. They love it there. They love the opportunity they get to serve the Lord together. They're so enthusiastic. And so Jeremy, at some point during this videotaping, as he's able to ask them any question he wants to ask about house parenting, I think a light bulb went on, and he's, wow, Maddie and I could do this. And I really like this couple. And we're kind of about the same age. And interestingly, Jacob and Nikki had been praying for a house parent couple about their age that they could connect with and do life together. And so just think of the irony of it. He comes to do a house parent recruitment video so that we could recruit house parents. And in the process of him doing this interview, he, in a way, is self-recruiting. Like, and he's able to ask any question he wants to and get the real, true answer straight from other house parents. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's amazing. So Jeremy texts me about a week later and says, hey, can we talk with you about something? And I was like, sure. And he's like, I think Maddie and I want to apply for house parents. And so we went through the process, and now they begin essentially tomorrow. So praise the Lord, right? Yeah. Good. So God is good, and he's faithful to his children, right? Yes. And so I want to, if this works out, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Jacob and the tech team putting up with my last minute, like, hey, here's a video, hey, here's this, here's a PowerPoint slideshow. Thank you, you've been very kind and gracious. But I want to play with you the video that Jeremy created, and it's pretty fun and encouraging, so.
All across Indiana, there are many vulnerable at-risk children. As house parents at New Song, you will have the opportunity to walk alongside them as they grow spiritually, academically, and emotionally, and experience new things.
When you see a kid on the street, you have no idea what they're living with. But here, you know they each have their own bed. They're warm, they're fed, they're clothed. Like, we meet all of the needs that they have. And I think that speaks to kids, just knowing someone cares.
I think that's how God like intended us to live, with that hope and joy, and being the catalyst for that, and like sharing Christ's love with them, and sharing the hope that God gives, and sharing the peace that is only found truly in God. To be able to share that on a daily basis, it's really cool. To look back and see the growth in these kids' lives, and see like, just growing into a family atmosphere, or growing to be more respectful, or growing to be more interested in things of the Lord. And that is so unbelievably fulfilling.
Bob and Lisa and the teachers have just been all super supportive. And, you know, Bob and Lisa are constantly asking us, do you need anything? Are you, you know, just checking up on us. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How do you feel about the situation? And it's nice to be heard and know that they care about us. It's not just you're coming to work for us, it's we care about you too, and making sure that we're not burning you out.
One of the biggest things that we love about working at New Song is the community aspect, and to serve alongside other house parents and to grow alongside them as we're going to face the same challenges on a daily basis, and working with these kids. And yes, their challenges are going to be unique in a sense, but to fight the battles together, to grow together, to learn together on a house parenting level, and also on just a spiritual level of growing closer to God together. We're so thankful for the team that God has brought here so far. We're excited to see who God adds to that and how we can grow together with them.
visit us at newsongmission.org/houseparenting so we can walk alongside you as you pursue the opportunity of house parenting at New Song.
It's kind of funny. Did you hear what Jacob said? He said, "We look forward to seeing who God brings to." And he's probably looking at Jeremy when he's saying that. It's good. Through your and my challenges, may we strive to have the faith of the Apostle Paul, who said this as recorded in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians about his trust in the Lord, even in the midst of his wanting to die, seemingly wanting to die. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction which occurred in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who rescued us from so great a danger and death, and will rescue us, he on whom we have set our hope. Paul knew God's purpose in suffering, so that he would not trust in himself, but in God who raises the dead. May we also strive to have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who when faced with the threat of, I think it was being burned alive, right? Said this, "Our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods nor worship the golden statue you have set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seem to have the mentality that's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, which says about those who continue to live by faith through suffering and even death, says this, "All these died without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." May that be the kind of faith that we walk with, that although we press into the Lord, we're praying for something fervently, we're trusting the Lord for it wholeheartedly, we're content in the Lord, and we can say truly and genuinely, "But Lord, even if you don't, I know you're good, I know you're faithful, I know you've prepared a place for me. My salvation is secure in you." And praise be to the Lord. Recently, there's a boy named Jalen who came to know Christ at New Song. So Jalen's 9. I get a smile when I think of him. He lived with Lisa and I for a year and now has lived with Jacob and Nikki for whatever it's been, 5 months. And we noticed something with him a couple months before school let out in late May, where he was just asking some questions that he normally wouldn't ask, or where he was participating in chapel beyond what he normally would participate. The second to last chapel service that I gave, I do one a week, and then we do a Bible class during the week, but second to last chapel I gave, so what I wanted to share a message on hell. And I did. And I asked the question, it's actually a question that Pastor Aaron suggested that I ask, or he said, I remember in a phone call we had last year, he said, "Do you ever ask the boys Is there anything keeping you from receiving Christ today? And so after the chapel, that's the question I asked. I said, is there anything keeping you three boys from receiving Christ today? And there was kind of silence, and Jalen goes, I'm kind of 50-50. Well, I kind of really knew that many was 90-10, just from what I'd been seeing and experiencing, and I really felt like the Lord was working on the start. And I just said, well, you know, if any of you want to receive Christ before you leave next week, because it was the second to last week of school, just come up and talk with me or one of our other staff members, and we will pray with you. And the following week, about 3 days before school let out, he approached Nikki and Jacob and said, I want to be saved. Yeah, and yes. And so they led him to the Lord, and we see that as a very genuine conversion. Like right afterwards, he started thinking, well, I'm not going to be able, and he told them, I'm not going to be able to play those video games anymore. You know, he's 9-year-old. And we had an awards ceremony planned where the moms were going to come on that Thursday, and I had said something to Jalen about something he was going to say there, and he goes, I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit will remind me. Yeah, it was really cool. So we're thankful for all of our kids. What we do is we disciple them in the Lord, whether they know the Lord or not, and we feel like when we counsel them, we're discipling them. We're using God's word to confront sin in their lives, to point to the need of a Savior, to teach them truth and life and godliness. So even if they don't come to the Lord that school year, or maybe it's a year from now with other house parents, with other staff members leading them, or maybe it's later in life, but we feel like we're, by God's grace, you know, laying those blocks, laying those bricks, and giving them a, you know, foundation that when they do receive Christ, they'll have a strong foundation. This summer, our summer camps, I'm getting ready to close here. So it's our fourth year of summer camps. And summer camps have become a pretty big deal to us. This year, we already have, I think it's 49 or 50 kids registered. The camps can't be any more than 14 kids a camp. Seven boys in the boys' home, seven girls in the girls' home, maximum. And that's maximum because Lisa and I were summer camp hosts of boys for 2 years, and we know that's about what we could do as they sleep in the living room floors of the homes. And so we'll have 3 full-week camps, and then for the 6 to 8-year-olds, I think there's a 9-year-old or two mixed in, we'll have a 3-day camp at the end of the summer. All of these campers that come are potential students. We historically, if we on a typical year when we do have house parents who are ready, 25% of the kids who go to summer camp will convert to becoming full-time school year students. That's a pretty good ratio. And so we need to make our summer camps a blast, right? We need to make them super fun, super active, because those kids, you know, they'll bond. The biggest thing I think is that they bond with their house parents during summer camp because they live with them, and they feel the love and the warmth of those house parents. And it's like, I'd like to go live there. And this campus is, you know, amazing. We have to tell the kids, no, the school year is not a summer camp. You do go to school. You will have homework, and we will, you know, talk with you about difficult things, and we'll also have a lot of fun in the process. So I've got a little slideshow that hopefully it'll work. It'll show some photos, quick photos about what happens at our summer camps. So yeah, it's quick. That's good right there. Those are there's a lot that we do. That's plenty, but thank you. God is good and he's faithful to his children, regardless of whether or not he's meeting our hopes and dreams and expectations. He's inherently good. He's inherently faithful. The fact that we can't sometimes see him moving or in our work or our families and relationships, sometimes we can't feel him moving or see him moving, doesn't change the facts. The facts are God is good and he's faithful to his children. And as Ephesians 1 says, he's already given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. We're already secure in him. He's good and he's faithful to his children. Thank you, church, for all you do to support our ministry. And let's go ahead and pray. So Father, again, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus, Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who we have hope in, the one we're secure in, the one in whom we place our trust, the one we're confident in, the Lord Jesus, who we're confident in, Lord. And I just pray over my brothers and sisters in here in Christ and for myself that when we're met head on with challenges and difficulties and confusion, and we're tempted to despair or tempted to be anxious, I just pray, Father, that we would remember that you are good and you are faithful to your children. You will see us through. You've prepared a place for us. You love us, and we're secure in you. Amen.